that your Holy Spirit will work with us. Father, we just want to take charge over the atmosphere here. We want to take authority over it. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will speak and will work with people. Lord, it is not a meeting in vain. It's not just another meeting. It can be, but it depends on our attitude, how much we expect from you this morning, Father. And we pray that your word will speak to us, and your word does not return void. So we pray, I pray for each and every heart, your Lord, to be open to receive what you want to say this morning. Father, thank you that we're privileged in our nation to do stuff like this, Lord. And we pray that you will use it this morning to the glory of your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, everyone. You can have a seat. Good morning. How are you? Yes, I haven't preached for a while. Some new faces. I see some new faces. Nice to see you here this morning. I just want to share this morning. I don't think I'll take a lot of your time, but I will want to share on something that God has been doing or showing me again. And I was just reading the Bible School 3 book. I was paging through it there, and it says if you want to preach, you should preach about what you're going through. I can't give you a sermon, but I wouldn't say master it, but I can't tell you something that I don't believe in and that God is not doing with me. So that's why I think today's message really comes from God, because it is something that I feel that I've been going through and working through, and I don't want God to stop what he's doing. The first scripture I'll read, the sermon is called, He Makes All Things New. Now the question, before I read it, does that process, no, not a process, this where Jesus says he makes all things new, is it a once-off experience and then you're new? Well, that means we must be renewed continually. And the problem, I think, sometimes with us lies with the continuous process of that renewing. And that is what I want to talk about today. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the statement I want to make, and I think I'm correct, is that I believe all Christians should have a testimony in his life where he says, I was like this before Christ, now I'm like this. I had this temper before Christ, now I have no temper or whatever, a different. I acted like this in that area of my life. Are you with me? So I think a lot of people, I'm not saying our church, not at all, but I know there are lots of, that's also a controversial statement, but there must be change. There must be something that's been made new to be called a Christian. I think the terrible thing is that a whole lot of the world thinks that people that attend church are Christians. That's not the case. Christian means Christ-like. You've become Christ-like. There's something that has been renewed in us. And if we... Okay, but that's... So I said, the first thing is you must have a testimony of something that has changed. If you don't have that, well, you must just reassess. I'm not saying you're not a Christian, but we should all have a testimony of what has changed. But I think what's more important is somebody else must every now and then say, wow, you are different. Are you with me? It's easy for me. I can read scripture and I say, okay, a Christian should have the fruit of the Spirit. I should be kind. Oh, I'm a kind person. I'm a loving person. But if somebody else doesn't see that change in me, it's worrying. Amen. I always think my sermons, they start so negative. Are you guys with me? Let's just tell a joke or something. But it's not all of that. Now, I'm going to use some of my examples in my life, and that, I don't want it, I'm not bragging about what I went through. The opposite. I'm talking about a concern I see sometimes in my life after being Christian for a while, that some old things that were made new are now old again. Are you with me? But what I remember from when I did get saved is my same old story. You're going to hear it from me every time I preach. But my brother told me later on, he said he, because I never forced him, hopefully I didn't force anybody, but to attend church, etc. I wanted him to join my church after varsity, etc. He did it automatically. He just found out himself, I think, which church I attended, and he went there. Because he was, there's quite a gap between us, so I was already out of varsity. He just joined. And later on, he said, he went there because he saw the change in me. I didn't have to convince him that Jesus is real, that he exists, that he changes people. He could see it. So the question is, okay, it's fine for us to say, wow, I'm new, I'm like this, I was like this. Does other people see it? Hey, are you with me? That's the challenge. Okay, I'll get to that a little bit later. Revelations 21 verse 5, and you was seated on the throne, said, behold, I'm making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Actually, just the first part. Behold, I'm making all things new. I want to read 1 Peter 1. The next slide there. Okay, don't go to the next slide. The scripture is on there, but I just read it to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. It's important. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay? It speaks here of, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again. It speaks of this new thing that happened in our life. Old and new. I am going to hammer on that because I think a lot of churches don't show that we are new. It's a problem. Verse 4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. I also want to say, Jesus says, he makes new. He takes old things out, but he doesn't leave a gap there with nothing in it. He says he gives you an inheritance. He takes something out and he gives you something new. That first scripture also spoke about hope. Was it Hebrews 11 verse 1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, if you dissect that scripture, it makes absolutely no sense in natural terms. It doesn't make sense. It says it's the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is seeing something. That is evidence. But a hope. So what I want to say is sometimes God, he takes out, I don't know if you, when you came to Christ, I was hopeless. I didn't have hope. There was so many stuff wrong in my life. It's like nothing wants to work. My relationships are falling apart. There's turmoil in my life. And when you meet Jesus, he replaces that old hopelessness with hope. What I believe hope is it is sometimes and many times it is your situation has not changed. It's not like the problem is completely gone. It's not like your husband is immediately saved if you are saved. But you have hope. Are you with me? So, because I think it's important to tell Christians that when they come to Christ, that not all your problems are going to get solved, but Jesus says he gives hope. And that hope is something that we can hang on to. Even though the results and the things that we're seeing is not what he promises and what we want, there is a hope. Are you with me? So why am I saying this? Because we're talking about Jesus making things new. But sometimes he makes you new, but you're still struggling with the empty bank account. Are you with me? You're still struggling in your relationships, marriage, whatever. But he deposits an inheritance, and then there's hope. Are you with me? Are you with me? So I think it is a sign of maturity. Christian spiritual maturity, if somebody as is a Christian, they are sitting with that problem in church, but they're not angry with God because they hope. They believe in that hope. Are you with me? People that are not mature, they don't understand God's word yet, they need to grow, they is constantly angry with God because you haven't solved this problem for me yet. I don't have my wife yet. I'm married now, but I remember that stuff when I was a bachelor. Lord, where's my wife? You promised. And you're looking around, using nobody. But maturity helps us to grow, and then we have that hope. Are you still with me? So, Jesus, God says, He renews. He doesn't leave it empty. He gives us an inheritance that is imperishable. And with that, He gives us hope. Amen. Colossians 3 verse 10. And I've put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. We should be constantly, as the next scripture is going to show, it's not a once-off thing that happens. We must be constantly renewed. There's lots of things of that must be renewed. The way we speak, the way we act, the way we do business, the way we talk to people, everything of us must be changed. And it is, as this scripture says, we are changed towards the image of Christ, to the one who created us. My question this morning is, can God change you? Can He renew you? Is He still renewing you? Do you have times in your life where you reflect, sit, not in church, not in small group, you and God, where you pray and it's like, Lord, this thing is not from you. It needs to die. It needs to be renewed. It should be a daily thing. And I'm worried about myself sometimes. That's why I'm preaching this. This thing cannot stop in our lives. The world, the Bible says we are in this world, but we're not of this world. We should look different. We should smell different. Not smell, you know what I mean. We should have a different impact. We can smell different also. That's also nice. But do people that you come in contact with, what do they experience? It seems like every beginning of a year I preach about the same sermon. Is, do we smell like Jesus? What does people take it from me being around them? If they, you know, I don't even have to say something. It's just our presence must carry some weight to it. They're like, wow, we're in the presence of somebody that knows God. There's just peace here. They talk differently. They calm about things. Hey, I like a lot of those things. 2 Corinthians. You know what? Now I say 2 Corinthians. Any Americans here? Any Americans? Yeah. Yes. But it's, you know that they're busy with deciding who's going to be the Democratic candidate and the Republican candidate. Now, the other day, Donald Trump was a Republican. He might win. No, okay, I'm not speaking that. But he apparently pulled out his Bible and he said 2 Corinthians, and everybody was on his case that he didn't say 2 Corinthians. So, I mean, I think I know my Bible quite a bit, and I said 2 Corinthians. Hopefully, everybody's not on my case about it. It's 2 Corinthians, 4 verse 16. I can tell, just on the sideline, my dad was, when I grew up, I didn't understand it, but he was into, not our politics, I don't know if our politics, but politics in general, talking about American, he always knew everything about the. Now, I never knew why he's interested. Now, I'm the same. I can't stop watching what's going on there because I really find it fascinating and interesting. So, you can ask me some questions on that election. I know a lot. Yeah, don't ask my opinion. That might not be. Okay, therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. We have to get to places, we have to actually be in a state in our lives spiritually where we can self-evaluate us. Self-evaluation, seeing where we are with God, doesn't stop after 5 years in Bible school three or something. You know, there's no guideline that says, now you've made it, you're there, you can stop worrying about if you're good enough, if you've renewed enough. No, Scripture says it's a daily thing. And I've seen many times I come to church and it's like, you know, those are the Sundays when I don't get anything out of the sermon, when God doesn't speak to me, because my heart's not there. When I come to church, it can be the simplest of messages, but when I come to church, I want to hear, God is going to talk to me. I need something. I'm not there yet. Then He talks. Same message. One day I hear, the other day I don't. This Scripture says we must be renewed day by day. I must change daily. There must be something that God brings to my attention. And I know God works like that. When I got saved, God didn't tell me about all my mistakes all at once. He like systematically dealt with me. But when He dealt with me and He said, Theo, this one, then Theo was in a position to say, yes, Lord, I leave it. After 5 years, 10 years, it shouldn't stop. You know who we should ask? Okay, Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians, made the mistake again. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5, it says about the great judgment. I don't have it up there now. But that He will bring everything into the light, even the hidden things. You know, we're very nice Christians, and we pretend to be new when it's here and small group. Woo! But what does the stuff that nobody sees, what happens there? When you think, when I talk to a worker, when I talk to my wife when we're alone in the bedroom, when I talk to my child and nobody else sees, when I treat this person on the street, no church people around. Those are the stuff that God is going to bring into the light. It's almost like God is going to bring that worker that works in your garden or cleans your house. I don't know how that great judgment is going to work, but He's going to bring everything into the light. It's a kind of a scary thing. So He might bring the worker and says, okay, you sit now, yeah? Now tell me, how was your boss? And I won't be able to talk. I'm going to have to listen to what somebody else says about me. Because I can't interfere, because God is not judge. Those are the things that need to be renewed. The things that God is talking about is the thoughts. It's everything. But it's this stuff that the pastor and the elder doesn't see. Are you with me? Are we being renewed there? The stuff we're searching on the internet, where nobody sees. Renewed, renewed, renewed. Daily, daily, daily. Ezekiel 36, verse 25 to 27. Just before I get there, I said also almost every sermon, Bible talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. What's the difference, I've said, between a gift and a fruit? A gift is somebody, yeah, it's yours. Fruit, it's a little seedling. And God knows almost nothing grows in Swakop, so we know what it means to get something to grow. Effort, some manure, water, not like once in 6 months, every week at least. Then a tree grows and you get fruit. So fruit is cultivated. The Bible says it doesn't say test people by their gifts. It says by their fruits. So gentleness, kindness, self-control. They've got this song in the Kiddies church there. That is the things that we're talking about. That's how you judge. That's how we should judge our own character. The fruits of the Holy Spirit, not the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The fruits, that kindness, self-control. When everybody drives you crazy at work, that's when self-control is tested. Not in church here, when we sit and can listen to somebody. Amen. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. Then I will... Okay, here comes the good news. Self-evaluation should bring us to the place where we say, oh, Lord, I have so many shortcomings, so many things that need to be renewed. That's a great place to be at, because then God can do what He says He wants to do. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and listen to this, and I will cause you, I will make you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. The difference between our religion and a lot of other religions is God brings us to a place, maybe even after our own efforts and how we try and be good, and he shows us, it's like scripture actually calls it filthy rags. He shows us all our efforts is in vain. And when we get to that place and we're like, Lord, then he says, okay, now I can work with you. Now I can wash you. So I said in the first service, God is not in the business of, now I'm looking at the cars, I don't want to look. An old car that needs servicing constantly, it's like everything breaks every now and then. Jesus doesn't do that. He takes the old car, he gives a new one. He doesn't service old things and pluck here and patch there. The scripture says he comes, he washes, he makes new. He takes that heart of stone out and he gives a new heart, a soft one. So what we should, the process that we as Christians should go through constantly is like, Lord, there's a heart part again. What's going on here? What's it with this anger? What's it? Make soft. Take out. Renew, please. And I've realized, maybe life as you grow old and married and children, more responsibilities, etc. So it's quite easy for the devil to... there's extra pressures. There's extra... It's just more difficult. Plain and simple. It's easy for that old stuff to creep back. Are you with me? Old habits, old way. Speak to people like that. Treat them like this. Workers. Hey, come here. Do this. Those are the things that are going to be judged. Well, everything is judged, but including those things. And our character should be one that's been renewed constantly. Okay? Titus 3, verse 4 and 5. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Are you constantly regenerated? I was blessed an encounter one this Wednesday. Yuri shared his testimony, and it reminded me of the things that I went through. He shared about his life story and how he came to Christ. But then certain instances in church or wherever it happened, I can't remember, where he couldn't stop crying. He knows something is happening, but he doesn't know what's happening. You know what's happening? Jesus, Yuri, allows the Holy Spirit to come in and take out something, past hurt or something. But we need to allow that. That's why the Bible also says Jesus knocks and says, can I open? Can I make that new? That pain? And if you are willing, humble, he says, okay. He comes in and then he makes new. And I remember for myself, and it happens every now and then still, but many moments in my life where I don't know what is happening with me, but I just cry before the Lord. And I can't tell you what He's doing, but I know He's doing something. And I love those moments. I love those moments because then I know He is, I can't say what He's doing, but I know He's busy making something new. And the challenge for us, each and every one, is, okay, have you had such an experience? Are you new? And are you seeking that? Are you looking for that every now and then? Is God still every now and then you can feel, oh, He's working with me. He's cutting something out. You know, surgery is... Okay, nowadays we get anesthetics and all that stuff. In the old days, I hear they gave you whiskey. But like the very old days, okay? Just to take the pain away. So surgery is painful. I had my appendix, is that the right word, removed. Shame, man. I'm a bit of a sissy. Nowadays, it's only three little cuts like this, but felt like I couldn't move. But anyway, so surgery is painful, But is the purpose of surgery to be in pain? No, it's to remove a greater pain. Are you with me? So when God works up, it's not nice to hear it. Hey, man, you still have some racial issues. Ah, I thought I was over it. No, you're not. I thought I dealt with my anger. No, not yet. So it's not nice to hear. But if we're in that, we'll get to that. Okay. Romans 8 verse 11. So I want you to think. I want you to think. Be open to the Holy Spirit. What is He telling you this morning? What does He want to renew? Maybe this morning. What does He want to set in motion? You know, sometimes we can drag on in life with, I've seen it many times. Hopefully, I don't know if I'm there, but hopefully I'm okay. But God deals with like 90% of this stuff, but there's like one area. Lord, you don't touch that. And then people can go through 20 years serving Christ, and they cannot be liberated completely because that's one door they leave closed. It's not because Jesus doesn't want to. It's because, okay, there is a trust thing. So we will need to gain that trust. God is going to come in, and it's not going to hurt. It might hurt a little bit, but it's surgery to replace something that's old. Don't, the devil has got many ways of keeping us deceived. Don't let some offense or some pain, don't label it in your head as too big for God to solve. Don't label it as, God, you don't go here. That will keep you back. Jesus doesn't want you to be kept back. Romans 8 verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by Spirit that dwelleth in you. Quicken means vitalize, make alive, give life. Maybe there's some areas here today in your life but that God wants to quicken. Life. He wants to put life in it. There are some requirements. There are some stumbling blocks that keeps us from being renewed. This is not the only ones. This is just what I want to share this morning. What is needed for us to experience this renewing of Christ constantly? There's something else I want to share. I feel I must share. We are the opportunities nowadays for Christians to get distracted, to get deceived, to backslide, is everywhere. We're not protected in any way anymore in society from the devil and his onslaughts. So it is even, it's getting more and more urgent for Christians to be vigilant, that your fire, that we don't become lukewarm, that we stay warm for Christ, that we stay on fire for Christ. Because TV, I don't know, anything, social media nowadays, it is there to break down this relationship with you. It's to break down this constant process of renewing relationship. It's just a simple relationship with Christ where He constantly speaks into your life. Everything attacks that nowadays. Everything. Everything that we do. Children in school, that's why we need grace like triple that kids needed when it was in the 60s, I guess. But what they are being exposed to at school, the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's vigilant. He's got plans. We need to be vigilant. Are you with me? There must be a certain urgency as we get to the... Now, again, me and my end times. I'm not a great end times preacher. I don't know too much about it. But the Bible speaks of these signs you will see. There will be rumors of war. There will be drought. All of that stuff is happening all around us, and it's happening at a greater rate. So, which means we know we're going closer. And we have to be awake and vigilant. And one of the things that needs to happen to us is we need to have this dynamic relationship with Christ where we constantly renewed, where we stay humble. That's the next thing I want to say. But He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. I need grace in every area of my life. I can only get grace if I'm humble. What does humble mean? That's not self-pity. Humble means God knows more, I know less. That mentality. But we grow as Christians 10 years, oh, I know a lot. Not humility anymore. God cannot work with me. It's self-evaluation where I say, Lord, what does your word say? That's where we start. You open the word, it's the mirror. You see, Lord, oh, I'm not there yet. Humility is like, Lord, please do something. It is not self-pity, but it's being in a state where we can constantly, where God can constantly work with us. Because we need renewing day by day, Scripture says. So the first thing you need is humility, a place where we say we don't know enough. We need you, Lord. That's when it can work. The second thing I believe is a broken and a contrite spirit. It is a receptive spirit. Now, let me read that. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Do you need to be in a dilemma, crisis, to have a contrite spirit? No. But most people that are in a dilemma and in a crisis have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. The vessel is ready to receive. Are you with me? We don't have to have a crisis to have a vessel ready to receive. But our spirits must constantly be broken before the Lord. Constantly like, Lord, renew. Constantly. Even if He sorts out this issue and then that issue and He helps us and we're confident in Christ, constantly our hearts should be broken before Him. Because if He really reflects who we are, we realize He's not, we're not good enough, we're filthy. That is a contrite spirit. That is somebody that God can work with. Then I can be renewed every day. Are you with me? I want to share this. I have shared it. This surfer shared his testimony. We only watched the DVD. The guy's now 60. He died. He was dead. And then, now I must think, what happened? Then Jesus asked him, do you want to go back? Or something like that. And tell the people about me. Now, before or after that happened is, he said he could just constantly wanted to tell God, I'm sorry for all my sins. I feel so bad. I made all these mistakes. And every time he feels that, these waves of unconditional love will just hit him. And then he's broken again. And then he wants to say again, Lord, but I did this. And then another one hits him. Unconditional love. Jesus is not overwhelmed by your sin. Unconditional love. I don't know if I'm making sense. But broken heart, contrite spirit. Lord, I'm not there. And then he comes and he says, that's fine. That's why Paul says, in my weakness, your strength is made perfect. Because Paul, at his time when he was an apostle or whatever, he said, that's when he said, in my weakness, your strength is made perfect. Because he realized, man, I need you daily. I need you. And it is not Christians walking in self-pity and condemnation. Ah, we're such worms. No, it is being honest with ourselves. Where are we? And then the grace of God comes through. Then we are made perfect. Are you with me? Isaiah 61 verse 3. He's Saki still here or not? We're going to have music. It's fine. There's no music, it's fine. Isaiah 61:3, I need to read there. So what does God do? God exchanges. This morning God wants to exchange things. It says, to give them beauty for ashes. Now Isaiah 61, it starts with Jesus the anointed to heal the brokenhearted, to heal the blind, etc. And then he says, what? To give them beauty for ashes. There's so much ashes in our lives, so much burnt out stuff. That's ashes. Burnt out. And Jesus says, I exchange. I give beauty for ashes. What is your ashes today? What does he need to work with? Are there some old promises that hasn't been met? Resentment. Jesus says, this is what I do. We should be happy when Jesus shows us what's still wrong with us. Because then it's an opportunity for an exchange. Are you with me? Let's stand. the last scripture there. I started off with 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to end off there. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. That's what we were talking about. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us. Who's us? Who's us? Church. Everyone of us here. The ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and yet he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. What am I saying? What you should take out of this message today is that we are, all our best efforts is like filthy rags before God. But Jesus doesn't stop in exposing how bad we are. That's not where he stops. He starts there. Then he says, okay, now let's exchange. Let's reconcile. Let's fix things. Let me exchange that. Let me give you some beauty for those ashes. And what I want to end off with is, Jesus gives us, the church, that message of reconciliation to take out to the world. To, what does that mean? That means people that are out there that we even see as filthy, Jesus says, bring them and tell them about my message of reconciliation. We cannot come to Christ if we are not exposed to our weaknesses and our sin. It must happen, but it doesn't stop there. That's where Jesus says, great. If we're in humility at that place, I can exchange. I can change. I can move. I can make new. Amen? I want you to close your eyes. And I want to ask, if you have anything in your life, it can be marriage, it can be your relationship with God, it can be your relationship with your workers, I don't know, anything. And God is showing you here this morning that it needs some renewing. It needs to, there's some ash that needs to be exchanged. You're a Christian, you believe in God, you've accepted him, but you believe some things must be exchanged here this morning. If you feel there's something in your life, then I just want you to raise your hand. Is there anybody? Is there anybody that wants some exchange? Now I'm going to ask you a bold thing to do. So just quickly come forward. I'll end off in prayer and then somebody's going to pray with you. So everybody that says, I need some exchange, I need God to touch me here this morning, just quickly come forward. And we're going to pray for you. Amen. I need some help here, please. And I'm just going to call, make another altar call, and then we'll close off in prayer, but we're going to spend time with people here, and we're going to trust God to renew whatever it needs to be renewed. If you are here this morning and you, this was an altar call for Christians needing some help, some prayer. But if you are here this morning and you cannot yourself say you have been renewed, born again, like we read right in the beginning, you do not know if you are born again. In other words, if you are a child of God. We want to make that opportunity available here this morning that you can make that decision. So when, while every head is bowed and just our eyes closed, Christians, just pray with me. Let's trust God for a miracle here. If you are here this morning and you want to accept Christ for the first time in your life, where you want to come to the surgeon, Jesus, that says, I cut out old and I give soft hearts. If you are here this morning and you want to accept Christ for the first time, just raise your hand. Say, that's me. Is there anybody like that? Okay. I'm going to close off in prayer. Then we'll pray for the people here. If you are still out there and you need prayer, as the people are leaving, come to the front. There was a lady in the first service that came afterwards, and I could see God really touched them. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your message. Father, there's some old stuff in us. Maybe it's never been removed. Maybe it's been removed, and it is back. We want to repent of it, Father. We want the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We want you to cut out things. Father, we give you that entrance into our lives. We allow you to come in. Father, we pray that you will bless everyone as they go, and specifically bless the people here that are going to receive ministry from you. In Jesus' name, amen.